The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus raised his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Give glory to your Son, so that your Son may glorify you. Just as you gave him authority over all people, so that your Son may give eternal life to all you gave him. Now, this is eternal life, that they should know you, the only true God, and the one whom you sent, Jesus Christ. I glorified you on earth by accomplishing the work that you gave me to do. Now glorify me, Father, with you, with the glory that I had before the world began. I revealed your name to those whom you gave me out of the world. They belong to you, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you gave me is from you, because the words you gave to me I have given to them, and they accepted them and truly understood that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for the ones you gave me, because they are yours, and everything of mine is yours, and everything of yours is mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I will no longer be in the world, but they are in the world, while I am coming to you. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
As you know, last Thursday, we celebrated the solemnity of the ascension of our Lord, the day that Jesus rose into heaven. And now we're in that short period of time, waiting for next Sunday, Pentecost, the day when the Holy Spirit descended upon the apostles and Mary in tongues of fire. And because Pentecost is only a week away, all of today's readings speak to a longing or a waiting for the Holy Spirit. The readings also speak about the doubts that still remain in the hearts of believers, both then and now. In the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, we see that after Jesus ascends into heaven, the disciples return to the upper room to pray. We read, all these devoted themselves with one accord to prayer. We also know from Scripture that a week later on Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit descended upon them, they're still in the upper room praying. I would love to have listened in on their prayers and know what was happening in their hearts that day. I'm sure they were still remembering what Jesus did among them. They must have also wondered what would happen to them now that Jesus said goodbye again. I'm sure they asked, why did he leave again? And although this second goodbye, seemingly not as traumatic as the first goodbye at the cross, but it's still a goodbye. And in a certain way, it was even more difficult because Jesus rose from the dead. He appeared to them and he lived again among them. But then they hear him say to the Father, and now I will no longer be in the world, and they are in the world while I am coming to you. And now Jesus is gone again. And once again, they feel abandoned, maybe this time for good. Oh yeah, Jesus promises to send the Paraclete, the Advocate, the Comforter, but what does that mean in the lives of the disciples who witness their leader killed, murdered on a cross? What does that mean to the disciples who themselves are afraid that they're going to experience the same fate? And even now, in our own personal lives, we have to wonder, what does it really mean that the Holy Spirit dwells within us? What difference does the Holy Spirit make to us as we face our daily challenges? Who is the Holy Spirit anyway? Well, of course we know and believe, I hope, that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Holy Trinity. We know that the Holy Spirit is co-equal with the Son and the Father. In other words, the Holy Spirit is the same as the Father and the Son, and they are one in the Trinity. Just like the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit is eternal, has always been, and always will be. And the Holy Spirit is omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. That is, all-knowing, all-powerful, and is everywhere at all times. The Holy Spirit is the divine presence of God that lives in us and is actively working in the world. Okay, great. We know that. That's what we've been taught. I hope that's what we believe. But what did it mean to the disciples, and what does it really mean for us today? Well, for the disciples, the Holy Spirit, the coming of the Holy Spirit, was truly life-saving, life-changing. Just before Jesus ascends into heaven, he tells them to wait for the promise of the Father, about which you have heard me speak. For John baptized you with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. 1 week later, when they receive the Holy Spirit, they go from men and women fearing for their lives to those who give their lives for the gospel, the good news. The moment they are touched by the Holy Spirit, the disciples go out fearlessly proclaiming Jesus as our Lord and Savior, not worrying if they live or die. And we know, of course, that all of the apostles but one were martyred, and even St. John lived a tortured life near the end. Now, nowhere in the Bible have I read of such a dramatic transformation. Even St. Paul, when he was stricken on the road to Damascus, had to spend several years getting himself together before he could go out and fearlessly preach the gospel. The apostles did it in one afternoon. That's what the Holy Spirit meant to them. But what does the Holy Spirit mean to us? Well, for us, the movement of the Holy Spirit is usually more subtle, but not necessarily less profound. The Catechism of the Catholic Church states that the Holy Spirit, and I quote, plays a crucial role in the life of believers. It goes on to say that the Holy Spirit sanctifies, empowers, and guides. Sanctifies, empowers, and guides. The Holy Spirit dwells within believers, empowering them with spiritual gifts and fruits. That's pretty heavy. Think about what I just read from the Catechism. By virtue of our baptism, confirmation, and our belief, the Holy Spirit sanctifies us. That is, the Holy Spirit makes us holy, purges us of sin, absolves us, cleanses us, anoints us, and consecrates us. The Holy Spirit guides us. Now, the Holy Spirit guides us by inclination and inspiration. Each of us has inclinations to one thing or another. Those are the gifts that St. Paul refers to. One is inclined to preach, another to teach, another to serve, another to lead. We have these inclinations because the Holy Spirit dwells within us. They're inborn. That's what makes one decide on a certain career or another. But in addition to this, the Holy Spirit then inspires us to follow these inclinations so that one becomes a teacher, a counselor, or a construction worker. Whatever it is, if we're open to the Holy Spirit will guide us to it. And thirdly, the Holy Spirit empowers us. That is, the Holy Spirit gives us the courage to follow the inclinations and the inspirations given us. This is often referred to as the promptings of the Holy Spirit. These are the little and not so little nudgings that we get in our minds and our hearts that to go ahead and do what we are inclined to do. Often, what we're inspired to do is beyond, way beyond our comfort zone. Whether it's to go to a certain college, get married, start a business, become a priest or a religious, whatever it is, it's scary. But if we're open to it, and if it comes from God, the Holy Spirit will give us the power and the courage to do it. The Holy Spirit will enable us to take that leap. And that's what's truly amazing if we go forth in faith. It works. Despite our fears and our doubts, it works. So these are the things that the Holy Spirit does for us. The Holy Spirit sanctifies, guides, and empowers us. The Holy Spirit is our guide to heaven and our guide through this earthly life. As usual, Jesus said it best. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever.